is my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, beneath the halo of a lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs and voices never shared. And no one.
Welcome back, folks, to another edition of The Edge of Darkness. Jeffrey Bennett's Edge of Darkness here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, and real people. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose. And for those of you who know, this is not The Conquered Show. This is The Edge of Darkness. And we are coming to you on February 13, 2023. I have two very special guest with me this evening. One of them I've known for quite some time, and the other one I met just recently through a group that they have called Restoring Law and Order, and they will be talking about that this evening. And then we will be having one of these individuals, Greg, coming back with us on Friday with an attorney to explain a little bit more about what he and Mark are doing. Now, a little bit of background, folks. As you all know, Maggie Rose is my AKA, and I've been using that for the last 27 years because I started doing international radio when I was in the military, both active duty and reserve. And I wanted to keep those kind of two lives kind of separately from each other. And then, as many of you know, a few months ago, I was so fed up with what I saw going on in both the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, and I've been a Republican for 47 years, that I had to make a very hard choice. And it was with a lot of prayer, a lot of discussion with my family and very close friends, that I decided to leave and go to the Constitution Party, planning just to be the county chair for my county here in Oregon. That was all I was considering. I was going to be wanting to work with school districts regarding the abuses towards parents and not being able to decide for their children what was best for them. And as you all know, the Constitution Party decided after three separate votes, they decided to make me their candidate to run for governor. And I learned a little little bit more about politics there. I had been a campaign manager three times. One person I had sent to Congress out of California, and another individual did not make it. And there was a third one who was running for U.S. Senate. And that person, I realized later that when you're going to be a campaign manager or do anything, you really need to get to know the people that you're behind. And so I found myself in a very situation that was very difficult a few years ago. And so when I decided to run for governor, I had no idea how political this is and how the federal judges and the state judges are all bought and paid for and how bad the lack of election integrity really is going on here in Oregon. Now, for the last 20 years, I've seen Oregon going down, down, down and becoming a state that nobody wants to move to. In fact, people are leaving the state of Oregon. And one of the individuals we're bringing on this evening is going to talk a little bit how he got started with restoring law and order, what happened to he and his family that cost them millions of dollars because of Ted Wheeler up in Portland, Oregon, the mayor and the chief of police at the time, allowing Antifa and Black Lives Matter to destroy the city. Now, I also watched just before we had our primary of what certain individuals were doing to the second guest we're bringing on this evening with Greg Mark Thelman, who is the superintendent of schools. Now, some people would say that some things happened while he was superintendent of schools that had to do with the COVID. But when he realized what was really going on, he was able to basically make some really positive changes. And one of the things that I've been stressing to all of you for some time is regarding the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, which is the Oregon State Constitution, especially Article 2, Section 22. The problem is how do we get our state and federal judges to obey this? And if we were to make them obey this and take action and put teeth into it, it means that over 90% of our Salem legislature, including our senators and legislators and many of our county commissioners in these 36 counties, including the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, as well as the Attorney General, Secretary of State, and the Treasurer of Oregon would all have to be removed from office. So would Tina Kotek have to be removed from office because they have been committing felonies. Yes, folks, these are felonies where we have not been able to get them convicted in court, but under the state constitution, the Oregon State Constitution, every one of them has been committing felonies. And this has been going on now for decades. But there is an answer to some of this. And Mark Thelman and Greg Schumacher are two of those individuals, along with many of the people on their team, that have said, we're going to take the bull by the horns and we're going to push this forward. So I would like to introduce a gentleman that I just met a few weeks ago. I know Mark Thelman very well. I voted for him in the primary, as did every member of my family. 15 members of my family voted for Mark Thelman. And I was a PCP at the time of the Republican Party. When I saw what Solomon Yu and some of the people did to Mark Thelman and another friend of mine running for sheriff is when I decided to leave the Republican Party and go in the Constitution Party, never dreaming I was going to be running for governor. And I had a lot of challenges, as did the party, during the first 2 months. So I was not actually allowed to run until the August 2022. I had 2 months and 6 days to run, and I did it on less than $5,000 donations and less than $4,000 of my own money. So for less than $10,000, and I still got over 8,000 votes. And at that time, I was an unknown under my actual married name. Everybody internationally has known me as Maggie Rose. But I discovered a lot when I was traveling around Oregon of what really happened to my friend who was running in the primary that's about to come up with us. And some of the things that people are trying to do to him now. And I'm really hoping, folks, that you listen to tonight's story and understand these men, they practice what they preach. They put their necks out on the line. And I'm hoping that you will all welcome them on board here to Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. And I'll let you introduce the person that you and I both know very well.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on the show. And if I may, if it's okay with you, I'd like to give just a little bit of background of where I come from and what propelled me into starting Restore Law and Order.
Okay.
So if you don't, if people are not aware, I am the owner of Schumacher Furs USA, which is one of the oldest businesses in Portland, Oregon. It was established in 1895. And we are the company that in year 2005 through 2007 was terrorized by extremist groups in downtown Portland at our headquarters. This was quite significant news as it lasted for 2 years, every day, in front of our store, at my house, wherever I went and my wife went and employees, we were constantly being terrorized. The uniqueness of this whole story, if I may, is that the longevity of the protest and the terrorism was for 2 years. And it lasted for 2 years because we couldn't get the law enforcement to do anything, kind of like what we see today in Portland and Oregon in the last 2.5 years, and also throughout America. So what happened is we went through this huge ordeal. It was very newsworthy, and I think some of your listeners might be aware of Schumacher Furs. But we ended up closing the retail operation in Portland. Now, keep in mind that we had New York operations, and we sold furs wholesale and manufactured all over the United States. Most people don't know that about Schumacher, but we sold stores such as Neiman Marcus, Saks Fifth Avenue, Nordstrom's, Bloomingdale's, et cetera. So we were quite big, and we were actually an international company. When I closed the store in 2007 in Portland, the reason I did that is because we no longer could get insurance. This, what I mean is liability insurance for our fur coats, our leather goods, and et cetera. So that was right there one of the main reasons, because we went every place in the world, we couldn't find insurance. And so the other reason, of course, is that we couldn't get the mayor or the governor or even President Bush at that time, who we went to enforce the existing laws. I mean, this is just, we ended up having 526 hours of audio and video of just illegal acts, okay, that happened to Schumachers, okay, where the police and law enforcement or FBI, none of them responded. So we were sitting ducks there by ourselves. I had to hire a huge security team just to secure myself and our employees and our customers and the store, because the police wouldn't do their job. So what's going on? The reason I tell you this story about Schumacher Furs, it has nothing to do with furs or anything like that. I mean, back then I was on media, and I was talking about, this is not a fur issue. This is an ideology issue. This is a government issue. And I finally, we sued Schumacher Furs, and also we sued the city of Portland, and we also sued extremist groups and individual activist terrorists in federal court, which was an absolute disaster and cost me a ton of money, simply because the entire city is corrupt. We're going back 16, 17 years ago, folks. So we're talking about the same corruption that you see today in Portland and throughout the state of Oregon, meaning Kate Brown and Ted Wheeler and the city council and Schmidt and all the rest of the AUs. That stuff was happening to me 16 or 17 years ago, and they isolated that on me. Now, of course, back then, it was Mayor Potter, and it wasn't Ted Wheeler, obviously. So because of all of this, what happened is it propelled me into this new company that I have, which is RestoreLawAndOrder.com. So you can see it's at RestoreLawAndOrder.com. And what RestoreLawAndOrder.com, the reason I started this is because about two and a half years ago, when I saw the riots and the illegal acts happening in Portland, to all different businesses and individuals and organizations, I hired an investigative company, and we tracked all the incidences on audio and video and other ways of illegal acts that were happening in Portland and throughout the state of Oregon where law enforcement would not respond. So we have literally thousands of incidences. Over 3,000, 4,000. We also tracked it, not just in Portland and Oregon, but also nationally. I would I could, with confidence, I could say we're the only people that have this evidence. So we're talking about situations where a business, for example, was the riots were going on and they were looting the business, for example, and the police were just standing by watching this happen with a SWAT team. A good example is the courthouse in downtown Portland, where Ted Wheeler told the law enforcement to stand down and don't do anything as they were attempting to burn down the courthouse. I mean, there's just thousands of these incidences. So what's happened at this point is I took that evidence and I had something in mind back 2.5 years ago when I did this, because I knew exactly what was going to happen. The same thing that happened to me was going to happen to all of Portland and throughout the state of Oregon and Seattle and Washington and New York and Detroit and Baltimore. And the situation in the last 2.5 years is not necessarily Antifa or Black Lives Matter or other opinion groups or in some cases extremist groups. That is not the real issue. The issue is our government. And this has always been the issue, and everyone seems to be skipping over this. You cannot go to Ted Wheeler and try to negotiate with him, or Kate Brown when she was in office, or the city council, and they'll just give you lip service. I mean, I went through it. They asked me to negotiate with animal rights groups back 17 years ago. I said, I don't negotiate with terrorists. So, I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, and all they do, they haven't done anything, and Portland is basically destroyed. Our tourism is way, way down, almost to nothing. It's affected 50,000 businesses, meaning economic damage. So Restore Law and Order is a company that I built an infrastructure for businesses, citizens, and organizations to come to if they had economic damage, meaning financially harmed, because of four things. One is riots. Two is violence. Three is illegal protest, and four is homelessness, okay? Those four things, not COVID. This has nothing to do with COVID. So what's going on is, what I'm saying is that if the government had enforced the laws, it would never have propelled into 2.5 years of this craziness, lawlessness, which is still happening even today, even though the news doesn't report most of the stuff that's going on. Because they're embarrassed to, and they don't want to ruin the reputation of Portland and the state of Oregon anymore than it's already happened. So, but we have the evidence, and we see this happening on a daily basis. There's businesses going out, restaurants, small mom and pop shops. Nike just closed their store, their flagship store in Portland. So, I mean, it just goes on and on, and I think most of the people that are listening to this are well aware of this. When I told you the cause of the economic damages, which is the government not enforcing the law, which caused the riots, the homelessness, the violence, and the illegal protests. So the damages that occurred, and this is important for everyone to take note, the damages to businesses, citizens, and organizations that occurred are, first one, not necessarily in this order, but the first one is the physical damage to your building where insurance didn't pay for it. The next one is devaluation of property values. This is very important because if you own property in Portland or even in certain areas of Oregon where all this lawlessness was going on, I guarantee you your property is not worth the amount it was prior to the riots and et cetera, if you were to go out and sell it or try leasing it. That's a big one. The next one is, which is a big one also, which is gross revenues of the business. And its net profits have either decreased, declined, or they just don't happen anymore. Many businesses actually went bankrupt or ended up closing. So the damage from, for example, a retailer not being able to sell the number of dollar volume that they used to prior to the protests. And then the next category, which is the last, is the future damage to the businesses because no one wants to come to Portland. Okay, look at all the restaurants, the hotels, Benson Hotel, look at the Nines, look at all these hotels that were damaged. And there's no cure for this. No one is offering any solution. Everyone's just giving lip service. And I'm saying that it's the government officials that we're holding accountable. So to go just the next step here real quick. So what we've done is we've gathered a legal team Okay. And what we're going to do is we are gathering businesses, organizations, and individuals together to do a multi-plaintiff, it's like a class action lawsuit, against the city of Portland, the state of Oregon, and the government officials personally. This is really important, personally, okay? So, and because they violated the U.S. Constitution. Now, this whole thing that we're doing has nothing to do, it's totally bipartisan, has nothing to do with whether you're a liberal, a conservative, independent, what your religion is, whether you're black or Muslim or whatever it may be. It has nothing to do with that. What it does have everything to do with is the government officials not enforcing the laws, which they took a personal oath to do so under the U.S. Constitution. So they're not enforcing constitutional law in the state or on a federal level. And again, we have all the evidence to prove this. So we're gathering, if I may, all these businesses together to be plaintiffs. Now, so there's three ways that a person or company can be involved with Restore Law and Order. One would be to become a plaintiff. And second would be to donate to in two different ways. And I'll let Mark kind of touch on that a little bit. But one way would be to donate to Restore Law and Order, which is anonymous. Okay. And also the other way was to donate to our PAC, our political PAC, which Mark developed. And this is important, this anonymity, because everyone seems to care what their neighbors think and what their business associates. So now, if you want to get involved in the cure, which is holding government officials responsible, you can do so with anonymity. And I can't guarantee you 100%, but I can pretty much assure you that I think that if you become a plaintiff, it's not going to be public information, because I think a judge is not going to allow it to be public information because of the nature of the case. I can't guarantee that. Okay, but I can guarantee that if you donate to Restore Law and Order, you will be totally anonymous. So those are the three ways to get involved: to become a plaintiff, donate to RestoreLawAndOrder.com. That's where you find us, RestoreLawAndOrder.com, or donate to the PAC. So that's basically what we're doing, generally speaking. We have, I believe, the best civil rights constitutional law attorneys in Oregon. We're gathering more. And some of them, if you go to our website, they're not even up on our website yet because we're still accumulating the bios and et cetera. But we've got very, very sharp, skilled set attorneys that that are used to doing exactly what we're doing, and they're very skilled at it. And these are not your typical corporate business attorney, which most of you businesses have. Corporate or business attorneys, in most cases, not all of them, do not have the knowledge at all of the constitutional complex litigation that we're doing in a civil rights and constitutional manner. So just I'm letting you be aware that if you go and talk to your corporate attorney, he's probably not going to be much help to you as he doesn't understand these matters. Some of them do, but most of them don't, at least with the experience that I've had. Again, this is a complex litigation, civil rights, constitutional lawsuit. So that's basically, you know, what we're doing. And, you know, we invite you to come to what we're doing. I ran into Mark Thielman. I just met him several months ago. And Mark, maybe you have some things to add here, if you don't mind coming on, please.
Are you with us, Mark? Hello, Mark?
I am here. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Hey, appreciate
it. Hi, Mark. I just introduced you to just kind of fill in some of the places that I didn't. And go ahead and just talk about whatever you'd like, please.
Well, a couple of things with Restoring Law and Order. So when Greg reached out to me, you know, he has this amazing story. What he went through is just surreal. And the theme was set in 2007. And like Greg mentioned, if the government had done its job, which was simply to unbiasedly enforce the law, the government's not here to choose sides. It's here to say this is the law and everybody must follow. They didn't do that. And now we have, you know, what we have is a complete destruction of what was once the Rose City. And when it comes down to trying to get businesses to step up and people who have been damaged, what we found, and Greg knows this very well, is that nobody wanted to do it because, you know, there's no funding. It's the courts are corrupt. And so, and what I was also explaining is that it's hard to get wealthier, larger businesses to stick their neck out because almost all of them have connections to city, county, and state government officials and contracts. So the way that you do this is to set it up two ways. If people want to support what we're doing, getting plaintiffs is not the problem. Finding business owners, small and medium-sized business in particular, been harmed is not the problem. The problem is making sure that we can take this all the way and bringing in a legal team that is worth their salt. And that's why we set it up so that you can... Whoops, sorry about that. My bad. Out on the farm here. So we set it up so that people can give anonymously. And I think that's a critical piece because that we have a lot of very wealthy people in Oregon who are loving what this Restoring Law and Order is capable of doing. And they're very excited about the giving anonymous people. The other part is you have to have a political act because political speech is protected speech. And, you know, Maggie, you know all about that. So when we're talking about how do we tie political speech back to the things we're doing, otherwise the government will harass you and harangue you. But it's much more difficult for them to do that when your speech is also political speech. And that's what the Political Action Committee is doing. I had a great time meeting the legal team that Greg put together. At first, they thought I was, you know, not an authority. They went back, did their own independent research. We had a follow-up meeting, and they were like, hey, you're right, this is good. And that's the beauty of what we're doing. This is grassroots, real gathering of very smart, very capable people who care about our cities, care about our counties, our communities, and would really like to see Oregon return at least a little bit closer to a more balanced and equitable set of rules. That's what we're hoping for.
Now, my question I have for you, Mark, is I know you've been approached in the past from some individuals that were trying to talk about the you know state constitution, Article 2, Section 22. And as you are aware of the fact, is that Tina Kotek and Kate Brown and Christine Drazen and Betsy Johnson have all thumbed their fingers at the laws that the Oregonians passed in the 1990s under the amendment of the state constitution. We've had many people violating that over the last 30 years. So if we can't get state and federal judges to even obey the state constitution, and they did what they did to Greg Schumacher in the court system, how do we think we're ever going to be able to bring this back since all of the judges, whether they're Republican or Democrat, know that if they put some teeth in what's going on with the state constitution being violated, what has happened with trying to restore law and order, how can we ever make this come about? Because basically, if you look at it, Tina Kotek, the state attorney general, the secretary of state and the treasurer, and many of those in the legislature in Salem, including some county commissioners in some of the 36 counties, are all committing felonies and have all violated the state constitution. So do we just allow them to go and obey the state constitution, portions of it when they feel like, and then other parts they just thumb their finger at you?
Well, I can answer to that. So two things. The state courts are corrupt, and we're all well aware of that. I mean, it's common comedy in Oregon. However, these are federal actions that we are planning to take. So we're going to sue in federal court. But here's the beauty of it is that we have a federal constitution, and then in the state level statutes, they pass qualified immunity rules, which means that a government official in Oregon acting within the scope of their capacity cannot be sued personally. Well, that might be true in some jurisdictions. At least that's what they want you to believe. That is not true in federal court. So a government official who violates their oath of office, willfully violates federal law, can be sued personally. And that's why federal law allows for that. I'm not going to go into a specific title, but I think it's Title 42 outlines that. 1983 was when they did the last update to that. And what's great is that other states have taken these kinds of suits and sued individual people personally. We know Ron DeSantis in Florida, he just stepped in as governor and said, hey, you violated your oath, you're fired, you're out. And now every state's different. So Oregon has a ton of protections at the state level for, shall we say, criminal public officials. Not so in federal court.
So are you telling me, Mark, that when this lady took her, she was basically brought into office last month, and you're telling me that even though she violated the state constitution as a candidate and running for office, that now she has protection and we can't go back and say, wait a minute, you shouldn't even be a candidate because you should not even be a governor because as a candidate, you were committing felonies under the state constitution. You're telling me she now has protection, even though she did that in order to get into office because she took millions of dollars from corporations, both inside and outside of Oregon, as well as money from the FTX?
Well, that's exactly what they are saying, and I'm not saying I agree with that, but yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. Basically, they're saying they, at the time she took the money, she didn't know that FTX was a corrupt organization and other organizations. So her conscience is clean. She's a good person. Go after the FTX people. This is the mentality.
Well, wait a minute. But Mark, I don't understand. She took money from Pfizer. She knew, and everybody knew, she and Johnson and Drazen were taking $45,000 plus from Pfizer, a big corporation outside Oregon. So they knew in the middle of doing, and they can't say that they were ignorant because they were legislators. So they knew as legislators, yep, former legislators, that when they took money from Pfizer, they were committing a state felony. So how do we answer that?
I want to. Can I interrupt you here? This is Greg. I just want to interrupt you.
Go ahead, Greg.
Next Friday, Chris Cobble is coming on your show, right? This coming Friday with me. And he's one of our lead attorneys. And that's exactly why he's coming on the show, to address the strategy that we're using, the immunity issues, all of this. And
okay.
So.
Then we'll leave that alone then. So
well, I'm not trying to avoid your question or anything.
Oh, no, I understand that.
I just think it'd be better well spoken from an attorney that does this every day.
Okay, that's a great idea. I agree. So, Mark, Greg, are you able to keep Mark on your board knowing that Mark is running for public office in the near future?
I don't see a reason why not. I mean, Mark is not on our board of directors. Mark is a participant in helping restore law and order.
Okay, Mark, so you want to answer that?
Yeah, so I'm not a board member, and it's a private organization. So even if I was, I would be allowed to stay on unless the organization had rules otherwise. The difficult piece is if I was an elected board member, let's say I was a school board member, and then I became elected as governor, that's a conflict of interest. You can't hold two elected offices at the same time. So obviously those would be conflicts. So, but, you know, Maggie, I appreciate you bringing that question up a lot. There is a difference between private and public organizations, and some of those rules are after
organizations. Okay, Maggie, I'd like to just interrupt here because I wanted to talk a little bit real quick about one of the main things of how we are suing the government officials personally, because people are probably wondering that. If you go to Title 42, Section 1983, and I think it's strong through 84, 85, and 86, you will see exactly how we're going to do this. And we're not the first people to do this. So government officials have been sued. Even judges have been sued. Okay. So, I mean, they took a violation. They took a constitutional oath also. I'm not suggesting we're going to go around and sue judges, but what I am saying is that Title 42, Section 1983, without reading it specifically, says that all government officials took a personal oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution and its laws. If they don't do that, they can be held accountable for the damages that they caused by their negligence and by their lawlessness. That's basically what it says, personally. Okay, so, you know, we've got the city lawsuits going, we've got the state of Oregon, and then we have the personal lawsuits going against all of these government officials. Okay, so, you know, and I'm going to let Chris this coming Friday speak to that, where he can articulate exactly how we're doing that. Now, the other violations are of the Amendment 14, Amendment 14th Amendment, and also tort claims and also city ordinances. So, I mean, there's just a slug load of stuff that we can do. Fortunately, we have this evidence. Now, I do want to tell your listeners that prior to me gathering this legal team, which was took a long time. First of all, they had to be skilled in this specific type of litigation. And I went all the way back to Washington, D.C. about a year and a half ago and went to some of the most influential attorneys, which most of you guys would know, and talked to them. And they all put me back to Oregon. They said, use Oregon attorneys because they know the strategies there and et cetera, which made sense. And so I gathered these attorneys here in Oregon that are very familiar with exactly how to proceed forward with this case. That being said, I just wanted to talk about that Title 42, Section 1983, and you can actually, you can just Google it if you want. But one more thing I wanted to mention, which I didn't, is what is the goal of doing this? Why are we doing this? Okay, is it because of what happened to me? Because of Schumacher Furs? No, it's not. This is not a revenge thing or anything like that. I can tell you one thing, okay? I want your listeners to listen very carefully, okay? I own one of the oldest businesses in Portland, which is still a legal business in Oregon, okay? These asses in the government totally ruined my business by not enforcing the law. It was not the animal rights groups. It was not the extremist groups. It was the government. Because they wouldn't enforce the law. Every time we called 9/11. My employees called 9/11. They would not respond to us anytime. Okay. And if you go on Restore Law and Order and scroll down on the front page, you will see a 4-minute video of just a sampling of the 520 hours of terrorism that my family and I went through. Okay. And our customers and our employees. Okay. And I might add that if you go into about 1 minute of it, you will see police officers in Portland handing out business cards to the terrorists and saying that if they need help from Schumacher, you just call me personally. Okay. And here I'm the guy being attacked. So, I mean, this stuff is just, you can't even make this stuff up. It's absolutely shameful. It's an absolute joke. I don't understand why the businesses are not standing up. Every one of the 50, 60,000 businesses in Portland should be joining this lawsuit. Because I guarantee you, if you plan on staying in Portland, Portland's going away. Just so you know. Portland is going away. It's not going to exist anymore.
I totally agree. Now, Greg, you and I talked about this a little bit earlier, but what I didn't know, and maybe Mark can answer this, is Mark able to bring on a bipartisan group? Mark and I have been very strongly involved, and I call myself a constitutional Republican, but we've both been very strongly involved with people in what we call the Executive Club up in Portland. They meet once a month. And some of the people there are really spot on, and other people I have questions about. But can we make this a bipartisan issue with both Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and Libertarians to help get behind you and Mark and what you're doing in federal court?
Well, I just said that. I said it earlier in the Senate. I said this is a bipartisan lawsuit situation. This has nothing to do with whether you're a Democrat, a liberal, a Republican, a conservative, whether you're black, white, purple or green, okay? Has nothing to do with that. And all it has to do with is violations of the U.S. Constitution and we're holding the government responsible.
Good.
Okay, we're holding the government responsible for the mess that they have created in Portland, Oregon. And I wanted to add one more thing. Why are we doing this? Number one is to retrieve economic damage, right? Back to the businesses. And that will not be, so if we win this case, you're going to get money back for the damage that you have. That's the purpose of why the businesses would want to get involved, one of them. Okay? That's a very important part of this. And it's not going to be taxpayers that are going to pay this. It's going to be the insurance companies.
Okay.
So just so you know. Now, the other reason we're doing this, and this is probably the most important part of everything, okay? And this is to set, when we sue the government officials personally, we have a national marketing campaign that we are doing. So what we're doing is we're taking the evidence that we have, concrete evidence, we're exposing them personally and running it nationally and exposing them. The reason we're doing this is because I want everyone to know how they perform how they don't perform in their job, and they're getting paid to do it. Okay, so when we do that, what's going to happen is it's going to set a precedent for future lawless government candidates as to not to run for political office, knowing that the same reaction that their predecessors happened will happen to them. So okay. In other words, if we hold all these people accountable, okay, for their lawlessness, any candidate that wants to go in office and carry on the same BS, okay, I don't think they're going to run, because after they see the political careers ruined by these politicians, the same thing will happen to them. So what okay. that's going to do is going to bring candidates in that want to enforce the law and uphold the laws of the U.S. Constitution, and that's what they're getting paid to do.
I got it. So you're no longer in Oregon, but I'm not saying where you are. That's we're keeping that under wraps. But since you're no longer in Oregon, is this going to be able to, because it's going federal, it will be able to help all the states. Mark, do you believe that in Oregon, this is going to be able to really shake up some of these people that have been thumbing their nose, even at your efforts? You should have won the primary. And we all know that. And we all know what happened in the primary. Do you believe that we have a lot of Oregonians that are behind you and Greg that will help with this? Question for Mark.
Well, it's a great question. So what we have in Oregon is a culture problem where good law-abiding people are suppressed, oppressed. And we've created a compliance culture in which everyone must follow the decrees of the government. And then the government itself does not hold itself accountable. And they've set up a series of laws in which they, you know, the government is the only entity that gets to investigate itself. I don't get that privilege. You don't get that privilege. But the government does. So what we have to do as a group of citizens is collectively in our community say, what kind of Portland do we want? Yeah. Are these elected officials delivering on that? Because what they're doing is they're acting with impunity. Ed Wheeler went down to the protests when Portland was burning, and he screamed, "I am with you," and then he had to be escorted under armed guard as he was attacked by the very people he was with. Hard for him that he wasn't supportive of Portland burning when there's video of him making a speech while Portland was burning. And this is the thing is, he was able to do that, Maggie, because there was nothing holding him accountable. The police work for the mayor. The state patrol worked for the governor, who was supported, you know, who's supportive of the mayor. And look at the mass level of corruption that's gone on. So the only last bastion to hold the first courts area in Oregon that has not been thoroughly exercised is taking actual government officials to court in the federal court. And that's what's so unique. I mean, it was too good opportunity for me to pass up. I thought, hey, this is not only can this be done, it's complex civil rights lawsuits which become newsworthy. So our goal is to make this national news and to educate the rest of the country on why they don't want to go the way Oregon's going. So I hope that answers the question. There's a lot to be done.
Yes, it does. We have a question in the audience. We have Pat calling to the two of you from Fort Worth, and I guess she says she has something for the two of you. So can we please, Mike, have Pat from Fort Worth?
Thank you, Maggie. You hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay. This is for all three of y'all. I admire you standing up for your state, but I'm telling you, y'all need to get out of there. Oregon is on the Cascadia Fault, which is interacted with the San Andreas Fault. And if you want to know what earthquakes are like, it's the news these days. You just need to get out of there. It's not worth fighting for. Get away from Washington and Oregon, maybe even Southern California. I'm telling you, it's bad.
Thank you for that, Pat. I appreciate that, Pat. I grew up in California. I lived literally one half to 1 mile from the epicenter of the San Andreas Fault, and I went through the 1989 earthquake out of Pittsburgh, California, and I hear what you're saying, but there's some of us people, as Greg will tell you and Mark will tell you, is that we believe that if everybody jumps out of the ship and nobody tries to bail and no one tries to patch it up, I truly believe that this is something that is worth fighting for. Right, Mark? Right, Greg?
Absolutely. I mean, I appreciate what your guest listener just said. But you have to understand, I mean, like my great-grandfather started Schumacher Furs on the west end of the Hawthorne Bridge in a 200-square-foot shack with a bunch of pelts hanging there in 1895, okay? I grew up in Portland. People in Oregon is absolutely gorgeous. And Portland used to be absolutely gorgeous. It is, there's no place on earth where you're an hour and a half from the beach, hour and a half from the desert, an hour and a half from the mountains, okay? And it's absolutely gorgeous here. We've gotten on the wrong track. I think people have sat back and, you know, allowed some of this to happen, but it's not too late. If we hold these government officials, don't give up. There is hope here. And we have to hold the government officials accountable, and things will change when you do that. But what we need to do is have government officials that are going to uphold the laws and offer, you'll protect all the businesses and every single one of you out there in Oregon. Every one of you has constitutional rights, and they're being violated because your government officials aren't enforcing the laws, all the way from safety to running a legal business. Okay, you're paying taxes to have the police come, and when there's issues and they don't come, I mean, all of this is just an embarrassment. It's a joke. And it can't go on anymore like this. I mean, someone's got to do something. I see many people trying to attempt to do something. But again, they're all doing the same thing. They're trying to change the government. Let me tell you something. The mayor and the governor, okay, and the city council could give a hoot about Portland. They don't care. Okay, they care about as much about Portland as Biden cares about America. Okay, they don't care. They are intentionally ruining it. Okay. And as far as I'm concerned, and all the work I've done, I would say that they're getting gifts and compensated to do so. Okay. I have a little bit of proof here. Look at the politicians that are multi-millionaires when all their life they made 175 grand a year.
Wow.
You might ask how they made all that money. What, by selling books? No way.
No.
I'm talking all over the United States of America.
Well, the opening song here is a kind of an offshoot off of it. It's another remake of the same song by Simon and Garfunkel, where people are hearing without listening, and people are singing songs that others will never hear. And I think what it is many of the people have gotten into a state of apathy and kind of like throwing their hands up in the air, like you can't fight City Hall. So we have a few more minutes to go on the show. Let's bring Mark on and let him say what he needs to say in a few minutes, and then bring you back on again, Greg, and that will be wrapping up the show. So whatever the key points are that both of you want to stress, Mark, you first.
Well, for me, you know, one of the things I've been doing lately is I've been working at one of my friend's companies, and we service Amazon vehicles, and Amazon has a lot of delivery depots all over the state because, as you know, it's headquartered here in Oregon, and it's a growing company, and they can't get people to work and fix vans. And one of the humorous things for me is I cannot tell you how many times I've gone out into an Amazon lot out in North Portland in the nighttime and had to work next to human feces and McDonald's napkins that they use to clean themselves with. And I don't brass. But I think Tina Kotek's policies and Kate Brown's homeless policies and Ted Wheeler's homeless policies are working very well. Matter of fact, people really need to get down to brass tacks. They have to decide, do you want results or do you want to be more talking? So, for example, they've stopped picking up a lot of the trash over by Jansen Beach and some of the North Portland homeless camp areas because they moved people out there. Now it's overpopulated and they're making a mess. Well, the city of Portland was using $2 million of federal COVID money to clean up those messes on a weekly basis, and the money has run out. And our mayor, Ted Wheeler, said he's mad. He came out and said that, you know, this is a crisis caused by the federal government not providing enough funding.
Oh,
not one word about addressing the homeless crisis. I'm sorry, but he's not out fixing Amazon vans next to human feces. I am. So I'm living it. People in Portland are living it. And for those of us who have lived it, You know, we're even willing to endure the Cascadia earthquake, and who knows, it might help at this point. And the reason is that Ted Wheeler has no clue. He's not out working day to day in the neighborhoods, in the communities, with this kind of disarray, crime, and mayhem. And so that's, you know, that's how I'd like to close. So for me, I'm gonna join a series of fights. As you know, I do Battleground Oregon. I'm suing integrity, and I'm working with Greg, because now we need to back our businesses and we need to get our communities restored and law and order restored, because that's all I'm hearing from real people who I engage with every day on a daily basis. I mean, it's like a tsunami. This government ignores them, and I won't have that. I'm not going to be ignored. Hardworking people shouldn't be ignored. So, Greg, I'll let you finish it up.
Well, sure. Thank you for that. I want to talk about homelessness for 1 second. I am very compassionate about homelessness, okay? Being homeless is not illegal. The problem is what the homeless do is illegal, okay? So, again, the government not enforcing the law. That's why homelessness is a big part of this. I am not an absolute expert on homelessness, but I don't need to be. All I know is that the homeless people need help, addiction, etc. But what they need to do is we need to get the homeless people out of the business district so the businesses can conduct business, okay? And put them someplace where, if I may, they can get help, where they can get support, etc. I'm all for that, okay? But don't try doing it while they're in downtown Portland or in other places throughout Oregon, Seaside, Oregon, etc., Coos Bay or wherever it might be. Don't try doing it while they're in the business district or, you know, in neighborhoods right across the street from you and devaluing your property values. So that being said, and I also wanted to talk about, I told you that Schumacher Furs went out because of insurance, and we couldn't get insurance. I do want to say, and I'm going to say this because it's very important to me to express this. One of the insurance companies that I think is the absolute worst insurance companies in America is Allstate Insurance. I'll tell you something. I've had claims with these guys. They were my insurance company. They still are in some cases. They would not honor any of the claims. They've ran me through the ringer for the last 5 years. And I want to just say that Allstate Insurance, if you need auto insurance or any other liability insurance, business insurance, don't go to those guys. Now, so if anyone wants to learn more about Restore Law and Order, go to restorelawandorder.com. And you can go there and it speaks for itself. And I invite everyone to join the fight that we're doing. I think it's the only way to resolve this issue. I really do. I'm very passionate about this, and the people on my team are very passionate. All the attorneys are, okay? I know that sounds like maybe that's not true, but they are. They really care about what's going on in Portland and in Oregon, and they want to make a difference. And I think we can make a difference, but we need your help. We can't do it without your help. And so, you know, become a plaintiff, donate to Restore Law and Order and/or our PAC, and you know, I think that's pretty much everything I have to say at this point in time.
Well, I thank you very much. I've gone to your website. In fact, I've gone to both of your websites, and I am 100% behind what you guys are trying to do. I also support what Mark's trying to do regarding election integrity. Unfortunately, in the county I live in, we have some people down here that are what I call, they call themselves conservative or Republicans. I call them our Douglas County AOC. We have four individuals. Especially, we've seen a lot of hostile takeovers of some of the conservative parties that are taking place around Oregon. And I see that, you know, Mark was the superintendent of schools. And so he was in the trenches with the children and with the parents. And basically, he was there on the front lines during the whole pandemic. So there's a lot of things that, you know, it was the first thing for everybody. we all did the best we could with what we had put on our plate. So, you know, Mark's to be commended for what he did as superintendent of schools. You're to be commended the fact that you're starting this Restore and Order. And I want to thank you both for coming up, and I hope to have you both up again in the near future. Do you think we can do that, Mark and Greg?
Absolutely.
Mark, thank you.
Looking forward to it.
And don't forget that our attorney will be on your show with me on Friday, right?
Yes, Friday, yes, from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And I'm hoping sometime in the near future I can make it up to see Mark again up in Portland. It's a three-hour drive one way for me to go to the executive club. And I don't know, since I was the fourth woman running for governor, that the Oregonian and the Willamette Week did not want me to speak or debate because they said I didn't have at least $1 million in my pack. So, therefore, I didn't get freedom of speech, but I'm really hoping that you and Mark will be able to push the freedom of speech issue. And with Restore and Order, I'm hoping that somehow in the federal court that there can be some restitution. And I thank you, Mark, and thank you, Greg, so much.
Right.
So,
one more thing. I'm very grateful to have Mark on our team, by the way. He's a huge asset for us.
Oh, he is. And he's so experienced with Oregonians, and he's had his thumb on the heartbeat of so many different groups across the state. I think you would agree with that, Mark, that you have been able to cross the aisle with many people in a bipartisan way that a lot of people were not able to do. And that's a talent that I think it's something that's natural. But I think with you being superintendent of schools, you had to deal with a lot of situations in a way that most people would shy away from. Angels would fear to tread. So thank you again, Mark. And Greg and yes. Mark, I hope you will come back again.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you.
God bless everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark Feldman, former superintendent of schools, and he's going to be running for political office here in the near future. Greg, I want to thank you. We're going to have you and Chris back on Friday, same time, same channel, right?
Yep, sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Greg. Folks, that's Greg Schumacher and Mark Feldman of Oregon with Restore Law and Order. We'll be back on Friday night, folks. Same time, same channel here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Purely listener supported. Thank you for your donations. Real news, real talk, and real people. This is Maggie Rose. Until Friday. I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to a wall, there is no hope to speak out. Skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.